I am Nancy. I'm an alcoholic.
Nancy.
This mic is really big. Okay, so Sydney asked me to speak tonight, and I'm kind of new to the young people thing. Not new, but I usually kind of like stay on the periphery because it makes me very nervous. And I've been coming more recently because I realized that instead of getting something out of these meetings, I might have something to bring. And I think that that's a testament to the step work that I've been doing. So experience, strength, and hope. I'm from Long Island. That's where I was born and raised. And I will skip to the significant events of my alcoholism, which probably started when my parents got divorced and then led to, like, emotional acting out, and they eventually put me in anger management, I think when I was 12, which I still actually use some of the things I learned from that. Like, for example, if you're interested, anger is just energy, so if you're angry, you can get that energy out in a healthy way, and it's usually gone, and I still use that. But I do come from a dysfunctional family, and there is addiction definitely on both sides. So because of that, nothing was consistent, including any therapy I've been through, which by this point in my life, I've been through a lot. And today, all of those, my solution is in these rooms. But it was a long road to get here. And I'm grateful to be here young, but I feel like I lived a really long time before I got here. And so when people used to say to me when I first came in AA when I was 22. I didn't stay sober, but I first came when I was 22. And people used to tell me I was really lucky to be here because I was young. And I didn't find that to be a compliment, but more like a challenge. And so I kind of envied people whose stories were worse than mine. And, you know, I was really, like, more about the drama. And so I really liked speakers who talked about how many prison sentences they had and, you know, how many rehabs they'd been to. And that was, like, more my thinking was the drama. And those were the people I wanted to be around. And, you know, I've learned in sobriety that the people with these big, enormous fronts usually have, like, very little behind that. And what you see is what you get with those people. And my sobriety also has taught me that, like, drama isn't actually that interesting. You know, it once, like, again, it's what you see is what you get. So I have much more substantial relationships today. And I'm not judging it because that was me, but I just have a lot more joy in my relationships today because they're much more authentic. There's much less of them. You know, the quality is there, but the quantity is really not. So I came in when I was 22. At that point, I really had lost everything. And even though I just said, like, I was impressed by the drama and or the, you know, the bad bottoms, I won't get into the details, but I really had lost everything. And I'm talking, you know, spiritually, emotionally, but also physically and materially. And including the trust of my family, who had supported my habits for a long time under the guise of whatever I was presenting it as. You know, I would never blatantly ask for drug money, but my family, again, dysfunction. Secrets are tolerated as long as they're presented, you know, with a neat bow. And so that's how you roll in my family. And so anyway, but at that point, I really had lost the trust of them. I was not welcome to stay with either of my parents. And so I kind of just, at first I was taken in by a friend's, my former roommate's mother, who was very religious. And I only say that because she had this faith in God that to me was real. And I think her faith and gave her the compassion to take me in. And so I stayed there for like a month, and I was abstinent from drugs and alcohol at that point only because I was so broke and had nowhere else to go. And I don't mean broken, I mean broke, but also broken. But eventually I came back, I went back to Long Island. This was before AA, and started staying with my grandparents without really asking them if I could move in. I kind of just did. And my grandfather was dying of Parkinson's-related dementia, and he did die while I lived there. He was, and still to this day, is probably one of the coolest people I've ever met. I was stealing from him. I was stealing from both of them. And I think he knew. I mean, he never called me out on it, but I think he knew. Eventually my grandmother asked me to leave after he died. And at this point I had started a little bit of the AA thing, but it was kind of like, I was so antisocial at that point. You know, the partying had ended long before. It just became too tiresome that I had continued to use and drink by myself because it was, like, really more economical. And so I was continuing to do that while living with them, literally having absolutely no social life. I mean, absolutely. And I kind of thought I liked it that way. And a lot of it was that I had... You know, when I drank, I seemed to do things that were, like, completely violated any moral code that I had left. It was like I wanted to do the opposite of what would make my life better when I drank. I was literally savage. And I really was. And I was also a blackout drinker. So I would wake up, and you all know that story, so I won't get into that. But the point is that I was so isolated at that point and so broke, my grandmother asked me to leave. And I had come to AA, but with the isolation came the inability to have a, like, conversation with people in the rooms. And so I would come late and leave early, and I was not getting a fucking sponsor. Forget it. I was not going to call somebody and tell them about myself when I didn't know them. Like, I had this, like, bizarre superiority in AA because, like you people are so weird. Like, you call each other, and you, like, I'm not going to hang with you. Like, you're not going to be my crew. You know, if I get one, it's not going to be you. So I wasn't about to start calling this strange woman and, like, describing my deepest, darkest secrets to her. So that's what I did. I did come to the rooms because there was a shred of desperation, mostly financial related, because I really needed a place to live. And I knew that putting down substances might help me with that. But I was not willing, and so I came to AA, and from that point, from 22, and I'm 27 now, I never really stopped going to AA, but I didn't, it took me 3 years to put drugs and alcohol down for good, or at least for good until today, which was 2.5 years ago, almost 2.5 years ago. It's like I would love to describe to you those 3 years of being in AA and not being sober, but I don't really remember very much. But I can tell you, like, I literally thought, I mean, there might have been some drug-related paranoia going on, but I really did think that I had died and gone to hell. I'm not using a metaphor. I thought I had died and gone to hell. And that's how I would describe active addiction, especially active addiction with a taste of sobriety, you know, with the taste of that there was a solution and not having that. And something that struck me, give myself the chills, something that struck me about the people in the rooms, and I think what kept me going back, and this was like such a little thing, but it wasn't a little thing, was that they were like, their eyes were clear, and they were like making eye contact with me, and there was no like false motives. You know, there wasn't that like weird ticking that you see in like a group of friends that are all on something, you know, like that, like all, you know, looking out, looking over your shoulder and who's stealing from who, and just that insanity. So I was attracted to that. Anyway, so those 3 years, I really don't know what was going on with me. Again, I did have like shreds of moments of clarity. But I really couldn't get it. And I wouldn't consider it like relapses as much as just not getting sober. And I don't really know what the what made me completely separate myself from substances on February 11, 2012. I have no idea. It wasn't like, I kind of wish it was like some big, grand, like, baller event, but it wasn't. It was, I really don't even remember, like, the day I stopped and the next day. I don't really remember, like, I had day one, because I had day one so many times. I mean, I vaguely remember doing that, raising my hand, counting days, but I don't remember, like, this specific one. So here I am 2.5 years later, you know, like everybody's story in AA who stays sober, like, it was really bad and then it got really good. Like, that's my story. My life is really good. And I'm not, like, I kind of, like, used to be wary of people who had, like, a positive attitude, because I thought it was, I, like, aligned it with stupidity. I thought, you know, or lying. But I'm telling the truth, and I think I'm somewhat intelligent. So, my life is really good. You know, you hear people say it's really good when you're new, and you're like, when am I going to get something? And that's how I felt, because it took a long time. I really started at square one, like, with nothing. Again, materially as well as emotionally, physically, spiritually, all that. And in retrospect, I believe that maybe served me well, because humility is great for sobriety. Humility, you can't be too cool and come to these rooms. Like, that's my experience. It doesn't you can't be really cool and be, like, solid sober. So I'm not that cool, but, like, I'm happy, and I'll take it. And what I mean by not being that cool is, like, I call my sponsor, and, like, when she tells me to do, I usually do it. I might put up a fight for a few days or a few hours or a few minutes, but generally speaking, I pretty much do whatever she says. And she, you know, we're going through the steps in the big book. And another thing that I highly recommend in working with a sponsor is, like, be your most rotten fucking self with your sponsor. Like, I don't call my sponsor and pretend that I'm having a great day, or pretend that, like, I'm emotionally balanced, or, like, really mature, or, like, you know, that I don't try to cover up my defects or make it look pretty. I've had enough of that. You know, I've, like, had enough, and I'm so grateful for this woman, God bless you, that's my sponsor, because I can be that way with her. And she will say, like, you're being a horse's ass, and, or, like, call me back. I can't talk to you when you're like this. Like, we kind of talk like that. And I'm not saying yes for everybody, but that's just, it's the honesty. Like, again, with the humility also, for me, comes honesty. Like, I'm just like, this is how I am. This is how I feel. This person's an asshole. And like, not like, I have no resentments. I'm 2.5 years sober, and I've been through the steps. It's not like that. Like, I get mad every single day. And, you know, that anger management worked, but I'm still Nancy, you know, and I'm still working. You know, I still have a long way to go, which is good news, because, like, I don't want to leave this program. I don't want to be too good for it. And I can tell you that, like, I don't think about leaving AA as much on, like, a day when shit sucks as I do when, like, things are going really well. And it's not like things go really well and I'm like, oh, things are going really well, let me just chill and enjoy the moment. I'm like, things are going really well, I want it to get better. And so I don't have time for AA. And thank God, you know, I do run, like I said, I run my thinking by my sponsor or other women in the program, and I have close relationships where I'm in daily communication with alcoholics, sober alcoholics. And, you know, my sponsor is old enough to be my mother. I've always asked women who are older than me. I don't know why that is. And that's not, I don't think that's good or bad. It's just what it is. But through honesty, humility, and experience, I've started coming to the younger meetings because, again, like, I feel that I actually do have something to give. And for anyone who was at Yes on Saturday and heard me at the meditation meeting, I'm sorry that you're hearing me again, but I have been meditating a lot lately, and And I want to mention something I mentioned that night too, which is that like a byproduct of meditating as well as the rest of what we do in these in this program is self-acceptance, which is why I feel like maybe I have something to bring because I kind of like myself today, which is a big deal. So I had something else to say. How am I doing on time?
5 to 10 minutes.
Okay. So be your rotten self with your sponsor. Don't be too cool. Be honest. And I don't have 5 or 10 more minutes of something to say. So I'm just going to stop there. Thanks.